Lunchtime, feel free to have a sandwich.
Okay, so next up is Guillaume. So if you're like just community hacker or whatever, and try to think, okay, that energy transformation sounds interesting, how to get into that, I want to help. Guillaume is going to show you an example on how you can do that.
Okay, thank you. So yeah, this is a short talk, which is more of a community-oriented thing, although there's now a few technical bits in it. So my name is Guillaume Tucker, and I'm a self-employed open source consultant now. And champagne in a corner. And so yeah, this is about how I got involved in the energy domain. So I have some mixed technical background. Actually, before I start, I'd like to know, do a quick anonymous survey. Can you please raise your hand if you're not currently working in the energy sector, if you're not working for an energy company? Yes, about like a third of the audience. So this may be for you. This is also it's also for the people already in the energy sector, how to bring in more people and how to make the community grow in general. So I studied electronics, like mixed signals electronics and power electronics at university, but then I worked a lot more in the embedded software world. So kind of related to electronics, but more and more on the software side. And then I worked in, dedicated myself to open source for 7 years at Colabora, and I worked on Kernel CI, which is a Linux Foundation project for testing the Linux kernel. And 2 years ago, I decided to go freelance. So I still do some kernel stuff and some of the other pure software world activities, if you want. But I've my goals was to transition to the energy sector. This is something I really wanted to do when I was a student and never really got the opportunity to work on. I wanted to do energy and open source, and I got the open source box ticked, if you want, now moving more into the energy world. So it was a big turn for me in my career, if you want. It started 2 years ago. I came to Felsdam to the energy dev room. So maybe this is a familiar place to you, the Delirium, that used to be the big meeting point for the Friday night before Felsdam. So I wrote a lot of blog posts. That was kind of me doing my homework, basically. So I learned about, well, I wrote a blog post about the energy dev room, but also it made me think about all the different actors in the ecosystem, all the different projects, all the different companies. So yeah, that's my personal website. You can check my blog post there if you want. So at the end of the day, basically, if you're coming from a software world, you might think, okay, it's electrical grids, energy, this could be dangerous. It's dangerous if you have batteries. It's dangerous if you have high voltage lines. But this is fine. you can work in the energy world without having a lab, without having access to dangerous stuff. So you can, it's basically software as usual. That's my biggest takeaway. Like, as an individual developer with a laptop, or even if it's in your company, if you're doing pure software, you've never really worked on the energy stuff, you can still contribute a lot of things. Yeah, the energy sector is really a big sector. There's lots of things, you know, from, I guess, most of these topics, I guess, we just talked about them. So, yeah, battery technology, of course, solar forecasting. I'm a big fan of OCF as well. And so I had to find my space there. So that's something everybody has to do. Like, where do you want to go, basically? And I guess it depends on lots of factors, mostly luck and circumstances, I would say. So eventually I got myself involved in digital substations. So a substation, some of you may already know this, a substation is basically, I want to call it a glorified transformer. If you want. So it's like taking different transforming voltage between a lower voltage to a higher voltage for transmission and then to a lower voltage again before distribution. But also it has lots of security features, so it needs to control the circuit breakers if there's a problem. And a lot of this has been done it's always been done historically in hardware with lots of hardware equipment to detect when there's a fault on the line and activate the circuit breaker, for example. Now, there's a big effort to move this logic into software, so that's what's called digital substations. And one of the Linux Foundation projects I've been involved with now is CPath. So that's to provide the basic operating system to run in a digital substation. Another very important thing in this area is the IEC standard, IEC 61850, which describes how a digital substation should work. So all the protocols the ways to communicate between all the different parts of the substation. So I won't detail this diagram here, it's just to give you a quick idea. Also, this is a short talk, so I won't have too much time. A key thing here is real time. So something you can't see here is PTP, this is precision time protocol. And everything has to be done really in real time, in accurate real time. If you want to know whether the if there's a fault, every millisecond something can burn, basically, so you have to react really quickly. And that's one of the main challenges here. So as I worked on this, coming from the outside world, if you want, what struck me was that there were lots of missing bits in it if you wanted to have a full stack to run on your own machine. Like even if you don't have an actual actual substation where you can deploy it, it seemed to me like some tools were available, some tools were available open source, and there was lots of other things that were missing to actually be able to contribute or try the software yourself without being in the industry already. So in blue here you have the things that already exist. So there's the CPath project, which provides like basically a hypervisor to run virtual machines and containers. That's where the logic will be to do the safety functions. And you have Compass, which is a tool for configuring digital substations. That's also a Linux Foundation project. And you have Ansible configuration that comes with CPath, so you can deploy your application. So that's already there and available. The only way to install it right now is if you have some dedicated server and you install it on the server, because this is what you would normally have in a substation. So something I worked on as a proof of concept was to have this in a virtual stack, so like nested virtual machines, basically. So that was the first step, but then I realized, okay, now the IEC standard, you can only have access to it. It's not an open standard, so you need to pay to have access to it. There are some implementations of it, but it basically all the hardware manufacturers use their own proprietary implementation. So there's some effort right now. Yeah, I'll skip there's a C implementation, but it comes with caveats. So there's several people, me included, want to work on implementing the IEC 61850, at least some parts of the standard, in a REST library, as well as some middleware. So this is something that's happening now. I can see a lot of people are interested in this. And then having some hardware models. So instead of having a real sensor and a real circuit breaker, you can have some models that will receive or send these messages. So that's sample values and goose. These are things, messages to communicate with the hardware. So basically the lesson learned here is coming from the outside, there's lots of things that you can see that people in the industry don't see yet. So that's a great way of getting involved as well. So it could be in documentation, it could be in testing, it could be also just to fill in the gaps from an open source point of view. So I call it a humbling experience because I had to learn a lot of things from scratch. It's a bit like learning a new language, if you want. So actually, there's a lot of terms like what's an IED, that's intelligent intelligent electrical device. You hear this term a lot at the beginning. It's like, what is that? And sometimes I felt like I was ahead of the game because some people are quite, I found in the energy sector, some people are quite far away from the open source world in a way. So a lot of people were astonished to know that I've contributed to the Linux kernel when you have like thousands of people who contributed, but to them it seemed like something from another planet, which was quite interesting to see the different difference of culture. And so it's really important, yeah, basically to listen to him just talking. I spent a lot of time listening to all, you know, to learn all the different types of cultures, and that's really interesting experience as well. To bridge the cultural gap, if you want. So that's kind of what I was saying. So there's lots of people in the energy sector that come from a hardware background, and you don't have the same natural inclination for using Unix shells, for example. You know, there's lots of tools that are still based on Windows, for example. So, however, I found it to be really a welcoming and open-minded ecosystem. So don't be afraid to get in touch with people. I found some open source communities sometimes are a bit more politicized, obviously, because they've been fighting against things to bring open source there, so they're always very specific about things. And that's good in a way. Sometimes it might feel a bit difficult to join some open source communities. In the energy world, I haven't found that to be an issue at all, and people are really welcoming, so that's great. there's a lot more physics and math, I mean, that's used everywhere. Of course, you have cryptography and software in general, but I found there's a lot of physics and science everywhere, so that's really interesting as well. It's a bit more refreshing in a way, if you want. So, and the last thing is, of course, it's a century-old industry. Electricity has been around for a long time, and now it's becoming a lot more complex. But the software history is relatively recent, so that's one of my takeaways from this. And I think that's basically where it makes sense as a contributor to join in. If you have some past experience in software, you can help bring this. That was basically to close the loop with my first question. If you're in this room and you're not yet in the energy sector, I guess you must be interested in energy and open source software. So yes, you can take part in this, at least. Yeah. I hope you can. Everybody will have a different journey. So the way I did it was to become freelance, and I had some fallback options as well. Like I still worked on operating system work and stuff like that. So everybody would have a different way to do this. It could be convincing your management. Lots of different ways to do this. But if you're really interested in this, I think there's definitely a good way forward. And there's a need for new people as well. It's really refreshing for the industry to have people coming from different backgrounds. And it's a big industry, so it won't move very fast. But don't worry if it takes time. I found some things move fast, but the industry as a whole moves slowly. So yeah, big thank you for the demo organizers, because that really helped me actually when I joined this dev room 2 years ago. That really opened the door to me to be able to join the energy sector from an open source point of view. So just naming a few and you as well. I'm sorry. And my uni teachers, my coach, and also my younger self when I was 20 years ago when I was a student. I think that's really important to sometimes take a step back and think about what you really want to do. So that's kind of what I did here. I guess I was a different person from now, so I can thank that other person. Okay, I think we still have a couple of minutes if people have questions. 3 minutes, so maybe 3 questions. So the question is whether I've completely transitioned and I'm making money for myself. So yeah, I have some contracts, but not in the energy sector yet. I could have tried to just join a company, but I was not really in a rush to do that. So I wanted to take a proper look at this and basically set up an environment for me to be able to do the right kind of services I wanted to give. So freelance, yes, but not quite in energy yet. But there's lots of opportunities, so it's looking okay. Good question, thanks. Okay, cheers.